Good evening, and welcome to the October 6, 2014 regular council meeting. I'm Mayor Giles. We'll begin today's meeting with an invocation. I know the pastor was running late. Did Pastor Darnell make it here? Okay, we'll reschedule Pastor Darnell for another time. We've called upon Council Member David Luna to pinch hit for Pastor Darnell. He'll offer the invocation, after which we will have Jordan Jackson of Troop 253 lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand for the invocation and for the pledge.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us today. Lord, we ask that you bless the city council, the mayor, and the leadership of the city as we deliberate and come up with some great decisions to move our city forward. I also like to pray for the young people here today that you would bless their lives and that we would be good role models for them as they pursue their careers in the future, Lord. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Luna and Jordan, for your help. The next item on our agenda is to recognize awards and recognitions. First, we'll ask Councilmember Luna to let us know about one of our own who's been selected as a Hispanic leader under 40. Councilmember Luna.
I'm honored to speak about my good friend Marisa Ramirez Ramos. I've actually known Marisa for many, many years. She was actually one of my students over at Mesa Junior High. This is a long time ago, probably in the early 90s sometimes. I actually taught her how to edit. She was part of a program that was for gifted students, and she did an amazing job. Just like she did then, she did now. She's very active in our Hispanic community, does some amazing things for the Latino community. This year, she's heading the Latino Town Hall, representing the city of Mesa, so very excited about that. She has done significant contributions to the city of Mesa and to her family and to the Latino community, and we're very, very proud of her. She was recently honored by the Valle del Sol as 40 under 40, and those are individuals that have made significant contributions to the Latino community in the Valley. So we're very honored to have Marisa, and we'd like to recognize her for her efforts in serving our Latino community.
Okay, thank you. We are fortunate in the city of Mesa to have many people who invest and take pride in their property. They also take the extra time to invest in their homes and businesses. The city created the Extraordinary Properties Campaign 3 years ago as a way to recognize and show our appreciation to these property owners. Tonight, we're recognizing our 11th group of recipients. Here to talk more about the program and introduce our award recipients is Laura Heineman, Deputy Director of the City's Development and Sustainability Department. Laura?
Thank you. Good evening. Our Extraordinary Properties campaign receives nominations from residents in the communities who see extraordinary properties out in the community. Twice a year, community leaders come together and select the ones that really stand out in the neighborhoods in which they're located. So you're going to see some nice examples tonight. We have three properties that are being recognized. They will each receive a certificate and a sign which they can place in their front yard or on the front of their property for 3 months. Each exceptional property that is nominated also receives a thank you from the city and a certificate for taking such nice care of their property. Our first two recipients are residential properties. The first extraordinary property is owned by Lucio Ortiz and Margarita Lopez on South Vineyard in the Powell Estates subdivision. Mr. Ortiz has owned the home for 11 years. Do we have photographs? There we go. Yes, here it is. Mr. Ortiz has owned the home for 11 years. He's done much of the work you'll see himself. He installed the fountain, the grass, the decorative mailbox, the potted plants along the wall. He also did the stonework on the wall. Everything you see out front, he did himself. He and his family really like the house and the location. They enjoy the proximity to the school, the businesses, and the services nearby. Presenting the certificate to Mr. Ortiz will be Vice Mayor and District 4 Councilmember Chris Glover and Mayor John Giles. Our next recipients are Andrew and Rachel Bagley for their home on North Forest in the Luna Tierra subdivision. This home was nominated by one of our Extraordinary Property Committee members, Pat Gilbert, for its architectural interest. Andrew and his wife, Rachel, have owned the property for 3 years, during which they have uniquely remodeled the home from the foundation up. They built the roof, they rebuilt the roof, put a courtyard in the front, and added a 700-square-foot master bedroom. They converted a room back into a garage, and they rebuilt the pool and added a hot tub in the backyard. They removed 26 trees and added xeriscaping. Mr. Bagley mentioned that he did a lot of this work himself. Presenting the certificate to the Bagleys are District 1 Councilmember Dave Richens and Mayor Giles. Our final recipient is for a commercial property that is a Mesa icon, and I'm sure you're all going to recognize, Joe's Barbershop on East University Drive in the Esther Place neighborhood. Owner Joe Davis purchased the property back in 1971 when the price of a haircut was just $2.75. For years, Joe kept up the property, and now his grandson, Joey Davis, takes care of the exterior. In fact, Joey started taking care of it when he was just a child. Joe takes a lot of pride in his property, and at the age of 93, he still works at the barbershop and oversees how it's maintained. New fencing, a fountain, and a red, white, and blue tile have been added near the fountain to symbolize the barbershop style. The barbershop poles along the fence are solar-powered and light up at night. Presenting the certificate to the owner of Joe's Barbershop, Joe Davis and his granddaughters, Stephanie Zamora and Lindsay Davis, are Vice Mayor Glover and Mayor Giles. I also want to take a minute to thank our committee of volunteers who've selected the extraordinary properties, Linda Flick, Cynthia Dunham, Pat Gilbert, and Stephanie Wright. We are always accepting nominations for extraordinary properties. If you see a home or a business that really stands out in the area of Mesa where it's located, you can submit your nomination to Mesa Extraordinary Properties at mesaaz.gov. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura, and congratulations to all the award recipients as well as all of the nominees. I would just like to second what Laura just said. It would be great if the whole community became engaged in this and helped us point out the great properties that are around town. That's a lot of fun, so thank you. Again, Extraordinary Properties is a great way to show our appreciation to those who have pride in their homes and businesses and the businesses they own. The Mesa City Council looks forward to honoring our next group of extraordinary property owners in a few months. The next item on our council agenda, or actually the first item on the agenda, is to take action on the consent agenda, which will be read to us by Kevin Christopher. Kevin.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for National Kidney Foundation of Arizona, one-day charitable event, Saturday, October 25th, 1924 West Rio Salado Parkway. Item 4A, act on one-year renewal of term contract for parking lot sweeping for city facilities as requested by the facilities maintenance department. Item 4B, act on three-year term contract for auctioneering services for the fleet services, police, and business services departments. Item 4C, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for vaccines for the Fire and Medical Department's Childhood Immunization Program and public safety employees. This is funded by a grant from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Item 4D, act on three-year term contract for Surrey Seal Sand for the Transportation Department. Item 4E, act on three-year term contract for splicer kits, gel caps, and related components for the materials and supply warehouse for the Transportation Department. Item 4F, act on contract to purchase IT security infrastructure for utilities supervisory control and data acquisition network. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase two replacement light-duty pickup trucks for the engineering department. This purchase is funded by the Vehicle Replacement Fund. Item 5A, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement to accept Sprint Communications' settlement offer for changing the radio frequencies utilized by the Topaz radio network and other 800 megahertz radio stations licensed to the city of Mesa. The settlement will be used to upgrade the Topaz radio network to new 800 megahertz frequencies. Item 5B, act on contract to purchase a life cycle upgrade for the Topaz voice radio network as requested by the Communications Department. This purchase is funded by 2013 authorized public safety bonds, City of Mesa life cycle funds, and Topaz regional wireless cooperative members. Those are the City of Apache Junction, Town of Gilbert, City of Mesa, Rio Verde Fire District, Superposition Fire and Medical District, formerly the Apache Junction Fire District, and the Town of Queen Creek. Item 6A, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a cooperative agreement with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Centers for Medicare and Medicaid to accept funding from the Center's Healthcare Innovation Award Program in support of the Mesa Fire and Medical Department's Community Care Response Initiative. Item 6B, act on contract to purchase two additional dispatch workstations for the Fire and Medical Department. This purchase is funded by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services grant. Item 7A, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a sub-grantee agreement with the Arizona Department of Homeland Security for grant funds for equipment, training, and planning for the Fire and Medical Services Department's Rapid Response Team. Item 7B, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a contract agreement with Community Bridges to accept funding for fiscal year 2014-2015 for overtime for Mesa police officers assigned to the shoulder tapping and party patrol project. Item 7C, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to accept a fiscal year 2014 DNA Capacity Enhancement and Backlog Reduction Program grant award from the U.S. Department of Justice for overtime and software for the Police Department's Forensic Services Division. Item 7D, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a highway safety contract with the Governor's Office of Highway Safety to accept funding for overtime and employee-related expenses for the Police Department's traffic section to support and enhance DUI and impaired driving enforcement. Item 7E, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a highway safety contract with the Governor's Office of Highway Safety to accept funding for overtime and employee-related expenses for the Police Department's traffic section for selective traffic enforcement throughout the city. Item 8A, act on resolution declaring modified terms and conditions for the sale of utilities filed with the city clerk to be a public record and providing availability of the documents for public use and inspection. Item 8B, introduction of ordinance modifying the terms and conditions for the sale of utilities to provide modifications and alternatives to development regulations, standards, and requirements for detached single residences on one lot or parcel located outside of the city limits and amending the modification section of the terms and conditions. Item 9A, act to amend the Mesa Zoning Ordinance, Title 11, Chapter 87 of the Mesa City Code, Sections 11-4-2, 11-5-2, 11-6-2, and 11-7-2, relating to permitted uses of portable storage containers in specified zoning districts, and creating 11-30-16 regarding requirements relating to the placement and use of portable storage containers. Item 10A, act on ordinance amending Title 2, Chapter 18 of the Mesa City Code, and adopting by reference Personnel Appeals Board hearing procedural rules for classified employees, excluding sworn law enforcement, and Personnel Appeals Board hearing procedural rules for sworn law enforcement employees. Item 10B, act on ordinance amending Title 9 of the Mesa City Code by adding subsection 9-6-4I, establishing public street lighting requirements for Pacific Proving Grounds North, located south of Ray Road, east of Ellsworth Road. Item 10C, act on ordinance regarding Z-14-41, 232 South Dobson Road, located north of Broadway Road on the west side of Dobson Road, modification of the existing planned area development overlay and site plan review to allow development of a group industrial center. And item 11A, act on subdivision plat, Higley Heights Phase 2, the 1400 to 1500 blocks of North Higley Road on the west side. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Council, are there any items you'd like to have removed from the consent agenda? Ms. Mickelson, has the public requested any item to be removed?
No request, Mayor.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda? It appears that we do already, if I could read the electronics. And there's a second. Please cast your vote. It is unanimous in the ayes, so the consent agenda is passed. The next item on our agenda is item 12, which is items from citizens present. Ms. Mickelson, I notice that we have one card. Are there any others?
No additional requests, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. This is my first opportunity to conduct this agenda item. So, Ms. Spinner, if you don't mind, for my benefit and for those who might not have been following how this works, could you just rehearse for us the ground rules and the parameters for this agenda item?
Yes, Mayor and Council. The items from citizens present is permitted under the open meeting laws. You know, usually you can't discuss any item that's not specifically listed on the agenda. But the law allows this item, and it's intended for citizens to be able to come up and express concerns or comments to the council on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. The open meeting law doesn't require that we have this item, but Mesa has historically allowed it to encourage citizens to come talk with the council. We permit 3 minutes per speaker, and they can speak on any item. The council cannot respond to those items except in rare circumstances, and that's because the open meeting law allows citizens to speak to the council, but the council is not to respond unless it's agendized at a later time. However, this law is balanced with another state law, which is a statute that prohibits the use of city resources to influence the outcome of an election. And since we're entering the election cycle now, or we're actually in the middle of the election cycle, city resources would include, you know, the cameras and the city staff that's here now, the time and energy of the city staff, and the use of Channel 11. And any item that's on the ballot for the upcoming election in November, we should not be using the city resources to support or oppose any ballot item that is on the ballot. So we ask that citizens be mindful of that statute, as well as encouraging them to speak to the council if they have an issue that they would like to discuss. If we do have an issue where a citizen is supporting or opposing, we may not be able to rebroadcast those comments when we rebroadcast the council meeting on Channel 11. So again, citizens are encouraged to speak, but we encourage them to be mindful of the state law that prohibits the use of Channel 11 and the city staff to influence either supporting or imposing any ballot item.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Spinner. I think that was useful for us all to be familiarized with what the ground rules are. I do have one item. It's Jean Dufault. Jean, I apologize if I've mispronounced your last name. Please step forward. And we would ask that you introduce yourself, give your address for the record, and again, we will start a clock for 3 minutes. Thank you for being here.
Your pronunciation is correct. And I am from, I live at 510 East Ingram Street, Mesa. And I want to talk about the utility revenue bonds. Looking at the Schedule A of the summary of estimated revenues and expenditures for this year's budget, and I look at the inter-fund transfers out of $173 million from the enterprise fund, and inter-fund transfers in of $85 million to the general fund and $192 million to the debt service funds. I feel that taking these funds from the enterprise fund and using them for various city operations is not proper. And I'm not sure where we stand in this situation since the rules have been explained to me just now. But I feel that we're not using the profits from the enterprise fund to responsibly maintain the infrastructure required by the enterprise fund operations. Instead, you're asking the residents of Mesa to mortgage our future, as well as that of our children and grandchildren, and to make these many needed infrastructural improvements with revenue, utility revenue bonds that will last through the year 2044 if you sold the bonds this year. In spite of the secondary property tax increasing $14 million to $33 million in the current year, the enterprise fund has transferred from 2011 to the present, have increased from $83 million to $173 million. And the stated bond indebtedness for City of Mesa has grown by more than $356,000 in the last 3 years. And you have $220 million of taxpayer-approved revenue bonds that have not yet been spent. Plus, you're asking for $580 million additional bonds on the November ballot. And so you're...
Gene, there's a red light up, so if you could wrap things up. I think your time is expired.
All right.
Thank you.
And this, in summary, the debt of Mesa has almost doubled from 2011 to 2014. And if you want more information, I suggest you go to smartmesa.com.
Thank you for coming out tonight, Gene. Thank you very much. That completes the items on our agenda for tonight. Do we have a motion to adjourn the regular council meeting? Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned.